Today we'd like to see the title of Everlasting Love in Jeremiah chapter 30 and 31. To the souls on this online world through MP3 or YouTube channel on there, we'd like to suggest the three exposition questions. Number one, in chapter 30, verse 9, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 31, verse 3, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, you have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Last question in chapter 31, verse 30. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. What does it mean, and how can you apply this to our lives? In the last time, Jeremiah 29:32, so you may read them. So basically, valiant, the God's word, so the people, you know, shall be liable. Chapter 30, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, the word of chapter 30, 31, present both judgment and hope, showing that although Israel and Judah broke God's covenant, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, God promises restoration and new covenant in which his people will repent and obey. So the next chapter, 31, 34, that's a reference right there. So verse 2, there speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. Jeremiah 30 describes the near future of a return from Babylonian captivity and the far future period of great tribulation, while Jeremiah 31 reveals the restoration and establishment of God's kingdom after judgment, verse 7. This is a cross-reference story. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. During this time, Jeremiah prophesied in Jerusalem, while Ezekiel ministered to the exiles in Babylon. Both are faithfully delivering God's words, Ezekiel chapter 1, 1 to 3, cross-reference. For now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah, either northern kingdom, Judah, south kingdom. This prophecy includes both the near fulfillment of the return from Babylon and greater final restoration that is yet to be completed, cross-reference there. 5 to 6. For thus says the Lord, we have heard the voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? The coming tribulation is described as intense anguish, like labor pains, indicate a time of unprecedented suffering. Cross-reference there, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The period called the time of Jacob's trouble will be severe, yet God promised that Israel will ultimately be delivered. Cross-reference there. Verse 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will reverse your bonds, for it shall no more enslave them. That is concluding. So in verse 8. verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. God will, question one, will break the Israel bondage and restore them under the reign of the promised Messiah, the son of David, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So, right here, cross reference. Verse 10 to 11. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. 11. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations, where I have sacrificed, scattered you. Yet I will not make a complete end of you. I will correct your injustice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. God assures Israel of restoration and peace while also declaring that he will discipline them with justice but not destroy them. That's a cross reference right there. So verse 12, 15, right here. For thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable, your wound is severe. There is no one to plead your cause, that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do seek you. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased, why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. I have done these things to you. Israel's suffering is a result of a sin, and their condition cannot be healed by human efforts, but only by God's intervention. 16 to 17, therefore all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversary, every one of them shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder. And all who prey upon you, I will make a prey. For I will destroy health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is giant, no one seeks her. God promised to reverse Israel's situation by judging their enemies and bringing healing and restoration to the people. Cross reference there, 18 up to 22. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its own mount, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all who oppress them. Their nobles shall be from among them, and their governor shall come from their midst. Then I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me. For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. The restoration will be complete, including the rebuilding of the cities, the growth of the people, and renewed leadership, culminating in a restored covenant relationship with God. Cross reference there, 22-24. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will consider it. God's righteous judgment will ultimately fall upon the wicked, fulfilling his purposes in the last days. A cross reference there. 31. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be God of all the families of Israel, and I shall be my people. To the side of the law, verse 2, the people who survived it, the soldier found the grace in the wilderness, Israel, when I went to give him rest. God affirmed his covenant relationship with Israel, promising to gather them, give them rest as he did in the past. Cross-reference there, 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with the loving kindness, I have drawn you. Question 2. God declares his everlasting love, drawing his people to himself with kindness and faithfulness. Close reference there, 4-6. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines, and shall go forth in the dancing of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vine on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant it there as an ordinary fruit, for there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise and let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. Israel will be restored with joy, worship, and prosperity as God rebuilds and blesses the nation. Close up from there, 7-9. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations, proclaim, give praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, the women with child, and the one who labors with child together. A great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. God will gather his people from all nations, including the weak and vulnerable, and lead them safely back. So cross-reference right there. Then verse 9 here. Ephraim is called God's firstborn, signifying his preeminence among the tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel, even though he was actually the second son of Joseph after Manasseh. 10-14. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of the one stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to Gadias of the Lord, for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their soul shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young man and the old together. For I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them, and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priests with the abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. The restored people will experience abundance, joy, and spiritual renewal like a well-watered garden. So cross-reference here, 15. Third said the Lord, a voice was heard in Lama, lamentation, a bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for children because they are no more. Rachel's weeping symbolized deep sorrow of loss, which finds both historical, prophetic fulfillment. So, you know, Great Tribulation, a lot of terror, a lot of loss. 16-17. There said the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be ready, said the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, said the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. God assures his people that their labor will be rewarded and that there is hope for their future. Close up there. 18:20, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have chastised me, and I was chastised like an untrained bull. Restore me, and I will return, for you are the Lord my God. Surely after my turning, I repented, and after I was instructed, I struck myself on the high. I was ashamed, yet even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Ephraim's repentance is met with God's compassion, showing his readiness to forgive and restore those who return to him. Cross reference there. 21:22, set up the signpost, make a landmark, set your heart toward the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O virgin of Israel, turn back to these your cities. How long will you get about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. God called his people to return to him, demonstrating his continued desire for their restoration. It's cross-referenced there, 23:26. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, they shall again use this speech in the land of Judah and its cities when I bring back their captivity. The Lord bless you, O home of justice and mountain of holiness, and these shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all is seated together, farmers and those going out with flock. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. After this I awoke and looked around, and my sleep was sweet to me. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of a man, the seed of a beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck out, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall say no more. God promises renewal and satisfaction for the weary, bringing both physical and spiritual restoration. This is a cross reference there. 30, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Each individual is responsible for their own sin, and God will judge people according to their personal actions. Close up there. 31:34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and writing on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. God established a new covenant written on the heart, fulfilled through Jesus Christ, bringing forgiveness and restore the relationship with him. Close reference there. 36:37. This says the Lord, who gave the sun for light by day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for light by night, who has disturbed the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease, for being a nation before me forever, thus says the Lord. If heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth search it out, pin it. I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. God guarantees the enduring existence of Israel as a nation, as certain as a fixed order of creation. That is a close reference to Genesis 8:22-38:40. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the city shall be built for the Lord from Tower of Hanel to the corner gate. The surveyor's line shall again extend straight forward over the hill, Garab. Then it shall turn toward the Goth, and the whole valley of the dead bodies of the ashes, and all the fields by the brook Kidron, to the corner of the horse of gate toward the east, shall be holy to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up and thrown down anymore forever. Jerusalem will be rebuilt and set apart as holy to the Lord, never to be overthrown again. That's a cross reference right there. So we covered all the questions to continually keep on prayers, all missionary prayer, those several the poems there, so you may read them. Was especially pray for Iranian, the mission opportunity, especially at this time. May God bless you, everybody.